I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 11.
Luke chapter number 11.
We're going to be right in the middle of this chapter this morning. Luke number 11. We'll probably be a couple of weeks on this parable that we're going to discuss that begins in verse number 33. And so I'd invite you to stand as you find your place there out of respect to the Word of God as we read Luke chapter 11 verses 33 through 36. Here God tells us, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Father, can be very curious as we consider it. But Father, we just pray and ask you would guide us and instruct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, is trying to communicate a very simple biblical truth. And as he's seeking to illustrate this simple biblical truth, he brings us or confronts us with something that is very common in our lives. Maybe not so much as ours today, but at least in the lives of those that lived in the first century and further on beyond that, but that of a candle or of a lamp. And so we have in this passage of Scripture three things. We have the illustration, which is found in verse 33 of the candle. Then we have the application in verses 34 and 35. And then finally the expectation in verse number 36. And so as I said before we began this morning, we'll take several weeks looking at this passage of Scripture. It's one that perhaps you've read before and scratched your head wondering, how can light be darkness? That's a curious thought, isn't it? I thought light was always light and dark was always dark. But Jesus tells us here, if thy light be darkness. And so there is a time and a place and a way that your light can be darkness. And so we're going to consider that. But this morning we want to begin with the illustration found in verse 33 of this light, this candle. When he says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Now, as we consider this verse and what Jesus is illustrating, I just want to consider for a few moments just a few simple thoughts about a candle. About a candle. We all understand a candle. We've burned candles. We've seen candles burn. We understand what they're all about. So this should be quite simple for us to understand. Just some very simple thoughts. The first thing we notice is the passiveness of the candle. The passiveness of the candle. Now, a candle does not light itself. Wouldn't that be nice if they came up with self-lighting candles? Now, I know you can buy these trick candles and put them on a birthday cake that they don't go out. But it'd be nice if they reversed that and had that come on by themselves. Then you wouldn't have to search through the drawers for a pack of matches or that lighter that you keep around only for lighting birthday cakes. That's what ours is. It's full in a thrown in a drawer with a bunch of other kitchen utensils, and by the time a birthday comes around, it's down at the bottom and pushed to the back. You almost have to take everything out to find it. Wouldn't it be nice if they had self-igniting candles? But they don't. You've got to light the candle. The candle cannot light itself. Now, the obvious illustration, perhaps I should have gone here first about the candle. The candle represents the believer. The candle does not represent anyone outside of Christ. The candle only represents someone who's saved. Someone who has a place and a time where they bowed the knee and confessed themselves as sinners before a holy God and accepted what Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary by faith, not by works of righteousness, but by God's grace. All right, if you're in that condition, you are a candle. You are a candle. Now, as we consider that first point, the passages of the candle, we understand that a candle can't light itself, neither can a man make himself saved. We're dependent on what another does in our lives. We're dependent on what Jesus did when He came from heaven to earth in the virgin's womb and was born of a woman and lived that sinless life and died on our behalf, rose again the third day. We're entirely dependent on it. Jesus, using the illustration of a candle to describe the Christian, reflects that biblical truth that man cannot save himself. That there is no salvation of works. Salvation is only of the Lord. And so we see the passiveness of the candle. You know the crazy thing about candles? Is if you burn candles a lot, and I don't burn candles a lot, but from what I understand, is that when you burn candles a lot, that you've got to trim that wick. If you want that candle to burn to its best ability, especially if you're using them not just for the aroma, as most candles are used today, but if you're using them for light, you've got to take care of that wick. You've got to trim it so that it's nice, so that it works well, so that it works efficiently. And in this I see the preparation of the candle, the preparation of the candle. Not only does it not light itself, but that candle needs work on a continuous basis in order to continue to burn efficiently and to burn brightly. Boy, what a picture of a Christian that is. You know, we get saved, we're all excited, full of zeal and vigor for God, and we go on in our Christian life, and we begin to rub shoulders with other dead Christians, and we think, man, I need to be just like them. They've been doing this Christian thing for years, but I'm like this, all excitable and things, and I just need to conform to what the crowd I'm around. But you know what's happening? Our candle needs trimming. Just like that person you're identifying with trying to be like, their wick needs trimming as well. Too often we walk through the Christian life without ever having our wick trimmed. Again, that candle cannot trim its own wick. We've got to allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to trim that wick, to take those impurities out of our life so that we can burn brightly for the cause of Christ and for our Savior. We've got to surrender and submit ourselves to that preparation, that cutting away, that burning away. That's why we had revival services last week. I trust that God spoke to you during those services. It's not being a backslidden sinner to not respond during a revival service. It's just the opposite. It's a backslidden sinner who refuses to respond when the Spirit of God speaks. Now, when I say respond, that doesn't mean you have to come bawling at the altar, although I encourage using the altar, because you'll find your decision will be longer lasting and more sincere. But the fact is, if you can sit in church week after week after week after week, that doesn't mean you're spiritual. That means just the opposite. That means you need to have your wick trimmed. That means you've gone too long before you've let God take care of business in your life and in your heart. And there's problems there. But we're so fooled by the world and by our own pride, and we just don't let God do His work. But if a candle's to burn brightly and efficiently, it's going to submit itself to preparation. All right, another thing we see here in this verse, verse number 33, is the place of the candle. The place of the candle. He tells us, first of all, two places a candle is not put. He says it's not put in a secret place. Not put in a secret place. Now, the idea behind a secret place is that you've got a candle and you don't want anyone else to know it. In other words, it's put in a place where it's covered and where it's hidden, where no light gets out. Virtually the same idea of the second place he tells us a candle is not put. A candle is not put under a bushel. Now, a bushel is a large basket. And so you don't burn a candle or light a candle and then cover it up with something to cover all the light. The light has a purpose. We'll look at that in a minute, but we're talking about the placement. God has a place for all of His candles. Now, it's a very frustrating time for many of us as our economy has taken a tailspin and places are closing up of employment. And so many of us are looking for jobs even this morning. Well, you're not looking for a job this morning, but you're in the process of trying to get employment. Do you realize what God is telling you is that He has some place He needs you to burn? Someplace He needs your light to shine so that you're showing the Savior to those people around you. Oftentimes that's why God changes and moves people in the secular world. That might be the explanation behind why you lost a job. And we get all mad at our bosses, our former bosses. And I knew one fella, he said that they were persecuting him because he was a Christian. No, it's God moving him. He witnessed to those people. Now there's other people who need to hear. People who need to have the witness of Christ in their workplace. I can't go there. I don't work. Now, that didn't come out at all right, did it? Some of you think so. Okay? I don't work a secular job. I spend my time in the ministry. And praise God that our church is able to do that. Not all pastors have this privilege. And I don't take it lightly. I don't. You folks are very good to me to allow that to happen. But the fact is, you know, I can't work out at Swan. I can't work at Timken. I can't work, whatever the workplace may be, out at Walmart. I might be able to go in somewhere like Walmart, a retail place, and they may or may not know I'm a Christian or a pastor. But if you work with them day in, day out, they're going to find out, at least they better find out, that you're a Christian. And as they find out you're a Christian, what kind of light is flickering from your candle? Is the right kind of light? Is a bright, shining light that glorifies and illuminates God shining out in that workplace where you're located? What about schools? The young people working their way back up from practicing for the youth choir now. What about school? I can't go into schools. You realize if I went in and wanted to visit in school, they wouldn't let me. Honest, they won't. There are ways to get in. Stephen tries to do it. Have lunch with the kids at least. If he can get permission from the parents and from the principal. You know, he has to walk in the principal's office with signed permission slip from the parents that he can have lunch with those kids. He can do it, but we can't just have free reign in those schools. But you know, you young people can. And I think all of you young people are wise enough to know that there's people who need Christ in your schools. God wants you to burn brightly. We're in Luke chapter 11, verse 33. We saw the passiveness of the candle, the preparation of the candle. We're talking about the place of the candle. God says there's a place for the candle, and that's on the candlestick. The candlestick is that which holds the candle, keeps it from igniting anything in the room or the building, but yet allows that candle to shine its light to the best of its ability, to illuminate that room as efficiently and as completely as possible. And that's what God wants to do with your life, wherever He has placed you, into whatever family He's placed you in. Some of our young people are in families with unsaved parents. God wants you to burn brightly. Some of you have parents that don't go to church. God wants you to burn brightly. Some of us are in workplaces or on very pagan people. I've been there. I know what it's like, and I know it's difficult and hard. And oftentimes, our conscience gets seared because we're in this environment over and over again. But that's why it's so important to be in church and in the Word of God, so that it cleanses that away and we can shine brightly. Shine where God places you. We also see the purpose of the candle here. This is very simple. As I said, it's very simple thoughts this morning. Just simply to give light. To give light. That they, at the end of verse 33, that they which come in may see the light. Don't you like the way God put that? Because we have a saying here in English, that they may see the light. Okay? I keep waiting for you folks. There's hope for some of you that you'll see the light. You know where I'm going. Oh, I'm thirsty. The only kind of cup I have in my office. Tracy chewed me out last week because she got looking in my windows where I have all my Michigan cups. And it was funny. I asked her, offered her a drink. She wasn't thirsty. I couldn't understand it. But anyway, and we use that saying to convert someone over to our ideals, our beliefs, our philosophies. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing for Christ? Because you work with someone whose sole purpose in life is to get everything out of this world they can and not put any thought into the future life. We don't like to think about death. Nobody likes to think about dying. But you know, we all understand and realize that one day, should the Lord tarry, it'll happen to every one of us. Sometimes we need to bring that subject up around those lost people we're with. We need to let them know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to head to heaven, so that they can see the light. So that they can see the light. But you know, it's more than just salvation they need to see the light on. We're living in a very pagan society. They call it the post-Christian era. And many of our leaders have come out and said, in both secular and in Christian circles, saying we no longer live in a Christian country. We live in a very pagan culture. Now our politicians say it, talking about the plurality of religions in our country. The religious leader, the Christian leader, say it because, you know, we're just confronted and inundated by pagan thoughts and ideals. We've got to burn clearly and purely that they might see the light of the way of God's Word. Morality is taking an awful swift kick. It's been knocked down, it's being kicked while it's down right now in our country. We as Christians need to let that light shine so that they may see the light and come around. Now they may get their way from the judicial bench and from our legislatures. All the polls prove that if you put it to a popular vote, all these things will fail. None of them will be voted in. But it's being legislated from the judicial bench and from the legislative branch. But you know, there's coming a time when they're going to have to answer for those votes, for those decisions. And those people we rub shoulders with every day that we can influence, who have adopted these philosophies because they've been convinced, they've seen the light of the other way that the press, the media, has convinced them. We need to show them the light that one day they're going to have to be accountable for the decisions they've made, for who they voted for, and they're going to have to give an account before Almighty God of all people. They need to see the light. And you know, you're the one that's placed there in order that they might be that candle that burns brightly. That's your purpose. But there's also not just the passiveness of the candle, the preparation of the candle, the place of the candle, the purpose of the candle. There's also the peril of the candle. The peril of the candle. Did you ever have that birthday party for the kids? It's got to happen to everybody at least once in their life. You light all those candles. There may only be 5 or 6 or 8, 10. You're having kids' birthday party. And that kid whose birthday it is, and before they can get that breath out, some little smart act at the table starts blowing them all out before they can get there. There's a peril to a candle. Or if you're trying to do it outside and a gust of wind comes up and blows them out. You ever have that happen? With the window open, maybe? You see, a candle, just because you light it, it's not going to necessarily stay lit. There's a peril that it might go out. What an illustration for the Christian life. Now, you may have shined brightly for a time, and there's no reason for your candle to ever go out. Just allow God to keep preparing you, trimming that wick. But sometimes we don't allow that to happen, and pretty soon that flicker goes down smaller and smaller until it's extinguished. To the point where it's just that little glowing ember after you blow the candle out and a little wisp of smoke coming up from the wick. And then finally, at just a brief moment of time, even that little glowing ember is gone. Nothing's left but the darkness of the burned wick. I'm afraid that in the United States of America and across this world we live in, there's too many Christians in that burned out candle state. God says, don't let it be. There's peril. There's so many things out there in the world that will cause your wick to go down. Our number one enemy is ourselves. The temptation, the lust that we have in our own lives, our pride, they keep us from allowing God to trim our wick and have His way with us. And that flame is dwindling smaller and smaller, and the light that we give is less and less. We've got to be careful about the perils in our own selves. But we need to be careful about the perils in the world as we watch television and see all those ads thrown at us that you've got to have this, you've got to have that, you've got to do this. If you watch the television shows and they propagate the world's philosophies and the world's system, And we begin to adopt the way of speech that they have. We begin to adopt their philosophies. God says we need to cleanse ourselves with the washing of the water of His Word. We need to rid ourselves of those things. There's a peril living in this world that's antagonistic towards our Savior. But of course, and this would be most on first people, or I'd say that backwards, this would be first on most people's list as far as the peril, though it's normally the last thing we deal with, at least in causing our candle to dwindle down, and that's the devil and his demons trying to cause us to stumble. We don't have to do battle with him very often because we destroy ourselves, and this world around us lures us in, and we don't have to even have any demon dispatched against us. And our light dwindles down. There's peril. It's not automatic. How brightly are you burning this morning? Because there's a final thing to learn about a candle, and that's simply the period of the candle. Crazy thing about candles is they don't last forever. You can get this nice tall, we've got some real tall candles at home. We can light those things. They'll burn a long time, really they will. Give a lot of light. Well, it's not going to be too far off. In fact, it was kind of funny. Anna was doing a little bit of straightening around the house. We've got the cabinet there in the kitchen with the glass doors on the front. And there's some candles in there, and there's one laying down. Of course, Anna's vertically challenged. The shelf was up a little bit above her eyesight. And she went to put this candle in a candle holder, and she couldn't get it in. Well, I'm not as vertically challenged, and I could see what was going on. There was a little stubby little thing in there, a leftover of a candle. You know, you can light a candle. It's not going to burn forever. Sometimes that can be discouraging for a Christian because we've got a work to do, and we know God gives us a work to do, and we don't see it completed. But you know what happens when a candle's done? Another candle gets plopped right in there. Where are you in the Christian life as a candle? Are you burning just about down? Don't worry. We've got people here to fill up the gap, but burn until God stops you from burning. Young people, we need you to fill in the place in the candle holders of those who can't burn any longer, to serve God and stand in the gap and be that light in this dark world in which we live. But how is your candle burning this morning? I trust it's burning brightly for all to see, that they may glorify God in heaven. But maybe this morning you're here and you're honest to say, Pastor, you know, I burned brightly once. There was a time. But you know, my candle's not burning like I know it ought to. You know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. It's certainly nothing I said. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to trim the wick. Will you let Him have His way this morning, will you? Please do. We need you to. I need you to. Not just as pastor of this church, but as a member of this church, I need you to burn brightly. Let God trim your wick as I let Him trim my wick. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never even become a candle. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Don't leave this building today without finding out how you can know 100%, absolutely no doubt in your mind that you're on your way to heaven. God assures us in His Word you can know that, and we'd be so happy to share that with you. We're going to have a word of prayer, have a brief invitation. We're going to have the Lord's table, as you can see, this morning. But we do want to sing a couple verses of a song, so I'm going to pray. Stephen will come and lead us in that song. But if God is dealing with your heart, if He wants to trim that wick, you let Him do it
while we sing. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Bless us now as we take just a few moments to reflect upon the message individually, not how our neighbor might need it, but how we might need it, and how Your Holy Spirit has spoken to us. Father, may we make lasting decisions here in this next few moments as we sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.